Okay, it's October 9th already. We have a quorum, and I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee to order. We'll do a roll call. Doug
Here.
Jennings, Trevor
Here.
Ledbetter,
Here.
Fred Ariza,
Here.
Ryan Thomas,
Here.
and Chris Yarter here. Okay, just a quick thing that I'd like to tell you guys is under the chairperson's report. So I had the city manager, Tim, reappoint me. It was okayed by mayor and council, and so I become one of his appointments instead of the Ward 6 appointment. Since there's going to be an election and everything like that, I figured I'd go with Tim. So everything's okay. Except he's used up all his six, so now I have to bug all the mayor and the other council members that still haven't come up with people to be on ESAC. All right. Let's move on to item three. For the cost of service presentation. And Carlos, I'm assuming you'll be on that. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, good. This time it worked.
So I think I'll just let Dave and Savannah take over the presentation.
Oh.
I'll wrap it up at the end of the day. So maybe just have them start the presentation and then we'll take it from there, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. They can go ahead and introduce themselves here again to the committee.
Great. No, appreciate it. I'll start out first. I'm Dave Yonke, president of New Gen Strategy Solutions. Let's go ahead. We have a PowerPoint presentation, and we can either,
Yeah.
Brittany, if you want to drive or if you can give control, we're good either way.
You guys have control. So go ahead and share your screen.
Maybe I simply don't know how to do that. Sorry, we're
Share.
Teams over here, so I don't know where the share
Go to
screen button.
the bottom.
Sarah.
Yeah, no problem. Let me just pull it up.
Oh, I found it. I got it.
There you
My
go.
bad. I didn't see the bottom of the screen. Okay.
There you go.
I think I should be able to do this. And then
Okay.
this. All
There you
right, can
go.
everyone see that?
Not yet.
And
There it is.
There we go. Okay,
And
great.
then minimize the box with the yours and my faces. I think there you go. Okay, perfect. All right. Yeah, we are, I'll admit, we're used to doing Teams. So then when we use other ones, it takes us a minute. All right, go ahead to the next slide. So again, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. Give you a little background. From my standpoint, I'm going to introduce myself, then Savannah. She's going to go through a lot of the buildup for the cost service study and the basis methodology. And then I will talk about the cost of service recommended rates. Again, I've been doing solid waste cost service studies for the past 25
Oops.
years. I've actually worked with the city of Tucson for about the past 20 years or so. But what I focus on are cost of service studies, feasibility studies. We also do operation reviews and procurement assistance. And so that's my background.
Hi, I'm Savannah Page. I'm a senior consultant with NewGen, with about 4 years of experience here. On this project, I was working as an analyst. Previously, I have also worked with Tucson a couple years ago on a commercial rate study that we did for you guys. So I'm going to walk through the scope of the project as well as the revenue requirement and the where we're at currently as far as your over or under reconciliation at your current rates. And then I'm going to hand it over to Dave to talk about our rate recommendations for you guys. So the scope of our analysis was to conduct a cost of service study specifically for your solid waste service or your environmental services department. How we did that is that we developed a 5-year revenue requirement forecast starting in fiscal year 2026, going through fiscal year 2030. From that revenue requirement, we calculated the revenues that you guys realize under current rates for that 5-year projection. And then we designed rates for each customer based on the services that you provide. When we talk about a cost of service, what we're doing is first developing a test year. The basis of the test year for this project for the city of Tucson was the fiscal year 2026 budget. From there, we developed the revenue requirement forecast, which again is that forecast based on those budgeted expenses and revenues from fiscal year 2026. We use inflationary measures that we talk through with the city in order to forecast the expected costs for the 5-year period from fiscal year 2026 to 2030. Next, we would allocate those individual costs to service categories. These service categories are all the different services that the Environmental Services Department provides to any and all of its customers. It ranges from residential collection service all the way through smaller programs like your glass collection or your compost bins. The next step in the process is the determination of billing units. Billing units in this case is just how many customers you have, how many containers are out there, how many individual bills are you billing customers for these services. And then lastly, we do a cost of service calculation, which is simply the cost for each service divided by the billing units for that particular service divided by 12 months to get a cost of service per customer per month. That cost of service calculation is what we use as sort of a guidepost in order to create rate recommendations for the 5-year forecast. When we talk about the revenue requirement and creating a revenue requirement, what we're looking at is the operation and maintenance expenses, so your general line item budgeted expenses. And then we're also taking into consideration your vehicle replacement as well as any large capital improvement projects. In respect to specifically the city of Tucson, we added cash funding for the purchase of new equipment. This included the expected replacement equipment as well as an additional $1 million into the landfill equipment reserve. We also added $1 million worth of annual closure, post-closure landfill funding, which again would go into your closure, post-closure reserves. And then we also added some cash funding for significant infrastructure needs, the large projects being the Los Reales Sustainability Campus facilities upgrades, the Los Reales landfill buffer, and then the Los Reales Sustainability Campus container maintenance relocation project. Those three totaling to about $33 million over the next 5 years. When you take into consideration all of your budgeted expenses, as well as these additional cash, landfill, and capital requirements, this is your revenue requirement for fiscal year 2026 through 2030. You can see that the total expenses for fiscal year 2026 start at about $83 million. And due to inflation, as well as capital needs, that increases up to $88 million by 2030. We have some revenue offsets. These are miscellaneous revenue offsets that we have not inflated just to remain conservative. And then we also have subtracted off the groundwater remediation costs from this net revenue requirement. And that's simply because the groundwater remediation costs are an expense that lives in the Environmental Services Department, but those costs get paid through the groundwater remediation fees that show up on each citizen's water bill. So we went ahead and removed that from the cost of service whenever we were designing rates. So when you subtract off the revenue offsets and the groundwater remediation costs, you get a net revenue requirement of $78.9 million in 2026, up to $83 million in 2030. This next slide shows the over and under recovery at current rates, which is just to say, if you were not to do any rate increases from now until 2030, what would your over or under recovery look like as a utility? So showing from this at current rates for fiscal year 2026, you would be under recovering that $78.9 million revenue requirement by nearly $12 million in fiscal year 2026. And again, due to inflation and capital needs and the fact that those revenues are staying stagnant due to no rate increases, that over under annual under recovery would increase to $15.1 million in fiscal year 2030. If you look at the cumulative over under recovery, you can see that that grows to a cumulative under recovery of $64.5 million in fiscal year 2030.
Okay, keep it there. And then
I'm going to hand it over to Dave to go through our rate proposals.
Yeah. So just a couple comments here on this. So on the revenues, like Savannah said, the only growth you see is due to customer growth, which I think we had at 0.5% or something like that. So very modest growth. Also, when we work with large cities, for instance, we've worked with Phoenix for quite a while. We work with a number of other large communities. Looking at under recoveries like this is not uncommon when you start looking at capital outlays with regard to landfills, rolling stock. There's been a significant increase in the last 3 to 5 years with equipment. Trucks that used to be about 350, 400 grand, 3 to 5 years ago are now over $500,000. So those are some of the drivers here. So let's go to the next slide, please. So these are proposed rates. And to be clear, this is our analysis. And if you are working to get to, how do you recover that deficit? These are what we would recommend as two rates. To be clear, council has not said, yes, let's go do this. This is just our analysis and based on our experience. And so this shows the rate increases. Bottom line, these increases, it's a 5% annual increase for fiscal years 26 and 27, 27 and 28, and then a 4% annual increase for 29 and 30.
Nope.
Wait, correct. Yeah. So for
fiscal year 2026 and 2027, we have a 5% increase. And then in 2028 and 2029, we have a 4% increase.
And
annually,
then we stay there.
And stay stagnant in 2030.
So apologize on that. Got it wrong there. One thing I want to emphasize, your 95 gallon rates, you're at $23 right now. If all these rate recommendations were implemented, you'd be at about $27.50 by 2030. We do solid waste cost service studies are what we do for a living. We have, for all the services that you provide with residential garbage collection, recycling, you're operating a landfill, all these different services, those rates are very, what we see in the market are very reasonable and fade, increasing over that period. We have numerous clients that are already over $30, $28 to $30 right now. So when I look at these cost of service based rates, these don't really surprise me or cause me any concern. Next slide. We also recommended some other increases on commercial dumpsters, recommended a 20% increase in fiscal year 2026, then for two fiscal years, 15% and then 10%. Roll-off refuse and recycling, you can see where the current rates are $182 per pull and $143 respectively. And you can see we're increasing those up. $25 to $40 per pull. Couple things I'll mention there. First of all, on your dumpsters, your dumpster rates, you operate in a very competitive marketplace, But when we look at what your current rate matrix is for the different size dumpsters, frequency of pickup, those rates are very competitive. We are recommending some sizable increases to increase the revenue. Again, it's an open market, so someone can go somewhere else. But we feel that the rates you have and with those increases would still keep you very competitive in the marketplace. And definitely on the roll-off, you're under-recovering there, and that's a very low rate for what we typically see in the marketplace. And then on the landfill, you can see on a per-ton basis, we're recommending some modest $1 per ton increases per year. Self-haul rates, we have increasing by $2 for a couple of years, and then by another $2 in FY28. And then you have some contracts for put-or-pay agreements, and we're recommending 3% annual increases on those. A couple of those have the that contractually set up that it has to go up by that, and others give the flexibility for that. So we would recommend that. And if you were to implement all of those rate changes we laid out on that time frame, you'll see that you start to reduce that under recovery. And by fiscal year 2028, you are positive and you're over recovering $1.4 million. However, it's very important, just like Savannah showed, the cumulative over under recovery, and you were at, I think it was like $65 million over 5 years with no rate increases. At fiscal year 2028, while you break even and you're positive at 1.4 million, you're cumulative, you're at a 7.7 million deficit, which means you have had to dip into the reserves to fund that shortfall over that period of time. You can see by fiscal year 2030, now you're almost to break even. You've paid everything back that you borrowed from the reserve, and then you're in good shape going forward. And then the last slide, this just shows the reserves. And again, if you remember, I showed that second line, you were under recovering in FY26, $6.9 million. You can see by the time you get to 2030, you would have a positive over recovery of $4 million. And I mentioned you were, basically breaking even. You can see that is the case. If you look in the top left corner, FY26, you're beginning working capital reserves at about $9.1 million. And you finish bottom right corner at about $9.1 million. So you've raised rates and your reserve is back to where it was. And that should complete our presentation. At this point, we'll stop sharing, and we're glad to answer any questions you have. Or Carlos, you probably have something to say, so I'll let you do that first.
Right. Well, I just want to mention, you went through this quickly, and we'd be able to get a copy of the PowerPoint, right?
Yes.
Okay. So my head's spinning a little bit, but it'd be good to be able to sit down and just go over it ourselves as well. Are there any questions?
Ken, what was the residential rate that's current? I think it was on the first or second slide.
Yeah, maybe we should.
You want me to share my screen again?
Yeah, let's keep it up there during the questions, if that would be beneficial.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
Sure.
Let me get back into.
And while Savannah's pulling it up, and yeah, now go to the, there you go. And then, okay.
There we go. There's the current residential.
Okay, there we
It's
go.
in this first column right here.
And most residents have the 95 gallon. Is that right, Carlos?
That's correct. So over 151,000 accounts. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm out in the county, and I was just comparing it to what I pay. And yeah, it's low by $6 or $7. Makes sense to me.
And it's not the same services too, to point out. You don't get fresh and bulky. There's other programs that are not provided out in the county that the city does provide. And
Good
it may not
point.
be to the individual resident, but it certainly are available. So HHW programs, the support of really maintaining the neighborhood recycling centers, the glass drop-off program,
Yes,
the
all of that.
hard to recycle plastics program, the support to the neighborhood cleanup efforts, the team up to clean up. So there's a multitude of things that essentially that are embedded within that rate. When you compare services to services at a one-to-one ratio.
Right. Thank you.
Is the fiscal year 2026 low income rate supposed to be 1115, or is it dropping
It
that year?
is dropping. It's now there was a recent ordinance that Carlos and Pat can probably speak a little more to, but essentially what it did is it that rate was updated to be 14 and give a $14 discount to low income customers. So it's $14 off of that 95 gallon.
Okay.
So, Trevor, to answer your question, so where it stands today, right now, low-income residents receive a $12 credit. So if you look at the at what they're currently paying is roughly $11. So what we're proposing, and this is what Tucson Water is doing, is really increasing that incentive or that offset. And so our suggestion would be is that we would go from $12 to $14 per resident. So in this case, most likely instead of their rate may go down, given essentially as compared to what they're paying today.
Okay, that makes sense. How many accounts do we have on low income?
I can't remember the number. I think it's God, let me get
It's
that. I don't want
I know what it is, Carlos. It's about 3,000.
Three
Yeah, it
thousand?
was a few
Okay.
thousand.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
No, I'll just mention too then, I mean, if we're glad to, Carlos can send you the PowerPoint once you have a chance to digest it. If there are other questions, if Carlos wants us to come back, we're glad to do that and talk about that. But again, I think that's one of the key things we just want to mention. One of the key benchmarks are always, well, where are the residential rates? And again, from our work in the business and the industry, and again, I've been doing it for 30 years now, $23, and then again going up over 5 years to $27. That honestly is a pretty good story.
What rate do we use for composting? Is it the same as trash or recycling, or is it still at a lower rate?
So that cost is embedded in the overall cost of service. That's a service that's provided.
Okay.
So one of the things we do, and again, I could talk about this. Savannah and I could talk for an hour on this topic, but I don't think you'd want to listen that long to us. But there are a lot of different service categories that are provided. And so one of the things we or services provided. So one of the things we do is go and look at all the personnel and equipment assigned to each of those services. But then on the residential side, the commercial side, there are rates that you roll it up into the overall aggregate rate for residential. So for instance, that 95 gallon, the 2415 in 2026, that includes the cost of collection of garbage, collection of recycling, their share of disposal costs, processing of recyclables, all of those different services that Carlos mentioned earlier. Does that make sense?
That does. One follow-up question there. I'm 99% sure this is still accurate, but we do charge per bin for the commercial customers when they sign up for the Food Cycle program. So I'm just curious what that rate is.
Yes, and we can get that to you. We didn't include it in this slideshow, but we have rates, a modest rate increases for that food cycle program is around the food scraps
Okay.
program.
Are there any other questions on residential? Do you think you could put the commercial back up? Because I know we've talked about a lot about increasing that over the years.
Can you see that?
Yeah. Okay.
And so, this goes back to looking at this is the cost of providing that service. And so, for instance, when Savannah's building out the model, one of the things the city provides us a lot of information. And so, we will, this takes into account how many front load routes you're running. How many roll-off routes, the life of the equipment, having to replace the equipment every, say, 5 to 7 years. It takes into consideration inflation as the cost of that equipment goes up, labor costs, fuel, maintenance, everything to come up with what the cost of service is for commercial dumpster collection and roll-off. On the commercial dumpster, what we do, we develop a rate matrix that it takes several cost components. There's the administrative cost component, but then there's the collection cost. And that cost will vary based on the number of collections. So if you have a 2 cubic yard dumpster that's collected once a week, your cost for that is, in the monthly rate, the cost per collection times 4.33. And again, that's because if you take 52 weeks and divide it by 12 months, that's 4.33 average pickups per month. And then your disposal cost is based on the size of the dumpster and frequency of pickup, based on the tonnage that is collected by commercial front load trucks and taken to landfill, which is based on the cost of service at the landfill. And so those costs, collection, disposal, and administrative, all go into the monthly rate. And just kind of think of that as a big algebra formula. But that's it. And then the roll-off costs are just based on how many roll-off trucks you're running, how many pulls you're doing, annually, divided by, again, the costs of the amortized equipment, labor costs, et cetera. And then landfill, similar with operating the landfill, capital equipment, et cetera, et cetera.
Chris, what you're seeing here is really just kind of the end result of the study. Okay, so I think what we can provide you is it right now we have a draft memo that outlines essentially all the steps that they describe in the slides. It also really will provide you the different
Okay.
schedules that refer. So as you read the memo, it refers to a schedule. So you could go back and make reference to that, and you can probably do some calculations there just to understand what the current rates are, where they're at, how the cost was essentially derived. So you can follow that. You can almost sing along with the memo and the attachments to that. So.
Okay.
So it's it, it and obviously once we send it out with the slides, then we could probably schedule some other time in, maybe internally to review that and go over that in more detail after you had a chance to review it. And then as a follow-up, maybe Dave and Savannah can come back if needed to come and provide more detailed information. I know there's a lot of information being dumped on you right now. I think it's really we're at a good point in terms of really, if the focus is let's look at the residential customers, it's real. It what we see is a reasonable ask in terms of really a 5% increase initially, and then really program some of those increases over time. We feel good about essentially the proposal. Obviously, it's still very dynamic, very fluid, because obviously we just met with the city manager's office earlier this week. We did the same thing, the data dump. We went over that stuff, and so they're mulling that over. They're seeing how they may react to it, and what guidance and direction they give to us. That's the reason we're doing that with you as well, just so that way you see kind of where we're at, where we're heading, where we're going, get some feedback on that, and then really be in a position to start having the discussions with the council, and then ultimately coming back from your end, really a recommended rate structure that comes in from ESAC. What's good about essentially this plan is it. I don't think it's really egregious in terms of what the increase that we're asking in all accounts, not only residential, commercial, but also landfill. But it does really provide us the tools that the department needs really to continue to provide effective and efficient services. Okay, so it's really making a huge investment on capital outlay, that is collections equipment to the tune of almost $9 to $10 million in equipment for collections every year. So that's embedded into the cost of service. Landfill equipment ranging from $2.7 million all the way to $4.6 million. Also making a dedicated revenue requirement for us to continue to put $1 million in landfill closure and post-closure. That's something that we have done always after the fact. So this study really allows us really to set that money aside, physically set the money aside, and also an additional $1 million for capital improvements. So as you know, we've been on a pay-as-we-go basis. On all the projects we have done, but we're getting to the point that we have to build some bigger stuff. And certainly one can take that one approach could be is we can continue to pay as we go basis. But if we do that, we would have to save money, build a project, save money, build a project, instead of delivering all those projects all of it at once. So there's pros and cons associated with that. So that's something maybe with your input as well as kind of from the council and the manager's office, we'll see how much of that do we continue doing on a pay-as-we-go basis, or do we borrow money? The way it stands today is that this cost of service considers really if we're going to borrow that's $30-some million and be able to provide the capacity to pay for that debt service. Okay. So one of those things could be is do we save that money for pay as we go, or do we borrow money? But the capacity to be able to do both, it's there. We got to do one or the other, okay? But it's there. The other thing is that this cost of service doesn't really represent or provides the Environmental Services Department of the future. It's really just continues on the status quo, no additional personnel, no additional programs, still continues to give us a capacity really to start moving those programs along. But no major projects as we move along. So those are some of the things we just got to consider. But the other thing kind of on the back end is the fund is very solid. On the bank, we have over $60 million in the bank. And over the past 8 years, we actually have invested over $24 million in capital projects. So there's a lot of good stuff. I think we're in a decent position. We certainly don't want to let that go. And as a matter of fact, we want to make sure that we continue to improve the financial position, which is correlated really with the delivery of the service. And that's what's nice about this cost of service is it really enables us really to be able to put us in the right track. Not perfect, not really not getting the multi-million dollar budget or capacity. But it's decent enough really to continue for us to make some progress and be better equipped to provide those services. So obviously maybe one of the things that you can consider is maybe scheduling a meeting with the Finance Subcommittee, go over in more detail. But I want to make sure that you guys had this information as soon as it was really came off the press. Met with the manager, meeting with you, trying to begin to have those discussions so that we can be in a position at the beginning of the year to make some final recommendations in terms of that rate.
So you think you'll be going to mayor and council the beginning of 2026?
Most likely, yes. Okay. Uh-huh. Yes.
All right. It's been a long time since we've done this.
Yes, he has been. Yes.
I know, because we had the 2 years of COVID, and do you remember the last year date?
So I believe the last increase wasn't too long ago. I think it was like
Oh,
in
yeah.
January of 2024. But
Right.
before that, it was essentially it took us 11 years to
11
get us
years.
to the last increase, right? So the idea is let's not wait 11 years. Let's not do it every year. But in terms, but if the council is on board and you're on board, is the idea is really to put in place a good rate program that it's given us the tools to move forward at least for the next 3 years, ideally for the next 5 years, to put up a rate implementation program that would essentially would renew itself or would increase itself. Again, 5%, 6%, 4% over the years. So we adopt that today, and hopefully we don't have to come back within that period to say, hey, we need more money. It's really let's just plan for that we can survive, we can continue to move forward anywhere between 2 to 3 to 5 years. So what I'm saying is trying to adopt a rate plan for the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Thanks. Are there any other questions? I know I'm gonna have to sit down and read it all over and over. So.
So I think we're going to sign off unless you have any other questions. What I will tell you, if you get the memo, you can just scribble down to look at Schedule 9. That's where there's a detailed breakout of the costs for the APC for the residential customers. And it breaks out and you can see the costs for all those different services provided
Okay.
by the environmental services folks.
Okay. That'll be good.
So I don't want to assume, but Carlos, do you need us anymore if there aren't any other questions?
I think we're good, David. Thank you. Appreciate
You
it, Savannah.
bet.
Thank you guys for all your help.
We'll be talking. Have a good weekend, folks.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
You guys
you.
take care.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
So we were going to try and meet again in October. Do you think that's something to think about, or November? We don't want to get too close to all the holidays.
Probably maybe my suggestion would be is maybe try to meet with the finance committees, maybe a subcommittee, maybe between now and early November before the next ESAC meeting.
Okay.
That may be good really just to go over and review it and maybe from there we can either the subcommittee can make some recommendations. Hey, do we want to continue talking about the subcommittee level? Do we want to bring it up to full ESAC? So I think those discussions are going to be very, very fluid, but at least the information is it's there. It's in its final draft form. And I think we got to be we still there's opportunities to tweak it. We still would get direction from the manager's office, get essentially some feedback on from you as well. And then really trying to make the modifications to the plan, make it a final version of that, and then be in a position to for ESAC really to vote on it or come up with a recommended plan rate plan or not, and then that way we can really present that to the manager's office as well as the mayor and council, so that way we can start having those discussions at the beginning of the year. So again, all the ordinances, all the notification, all the procedural stuff to modify the rates. So that way the goal would be is when we adopt the fiscal year 27 budget, that rates, those rates will be embedded in there. And ideally within that is to be able to have a rate plan that covers us for the next 3 to 5 years. So that will be the the idea. The other thing that we're hearing is it's really, I know Councilmember Ulick mentioned in one of her newsletters, is really trying to piggyback a rate or a fee associated with doing some general cleanup of the city, really being more instead of being more proactive on addressing litter issues and things like that. So that's something that may come up as part of this. I don't know if it's going to be bundling with essentially this rate or it's going to be separate, but I know those discussions will take place. Part of that too is as we've been talking about it for a few years is the graffiti program. Is that something that continue to be funded out of the general fund, or do we want to fund it out of the environmental services fund? The team of the cleanup effort, it's really more volunteered, more of a passive program. Is there any interest really to make it more of an active program that we would essentially augment our crews to be able to do more citywide cleanup efforts, not on a reactive basis, but more of on a proactive basis? So those are the things that could be part of this discussion, but at least for the time being is what is it that we need to do? What do we feel it's a good rate plan to continue to provide with the services that we're currently providing? And also really part of that is equipping us ourselves for us to develop either pilot programs or solid programs as it relates to the zero waste diversion goals, because that's not embedded in here. Okay. And so we got some options, we got some cost, but we don't have I would say a solid number that we can say, this is what we're going to need. And the reason part of that hesitation is it's really, and we've been talking about it is, yes, we can divert the material, but what is the end user and market for those products? And that's what we're facing now is what the value of PET. It was around $300 at the beginning of the year. Now we're talking about $20 a ton, and most likely we're going to a negative value. So all those things fluctuate in the commodity market. And so that's something that we also need to consider as we establish those programs in the future.
Okay. I would just like to tell everybody that with Margo and I, are we the only members on the finance committee? Ryan, have you joined us before on finance? I don't know if Ryan.
Sorry, yes, I am.
I know you're working full time, but
Yeah.
I'm hoping you can help us out a little bit too. Can we have four people on finance? Brittany, if anybody else wanted to join in, it would be helpful. Well, we'll think about it, okay?
Sorry, sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Four people, do you?
Could we? I mean, if somebody else wanted to join, I'm not trying to pressure anybody, but just think about it. We don't meet that often.
No.
I don't think we've met for what? 2 years?
A few years.
Yeah, a few years.
And we don't may not. If there's not enough members and maybe there's a lot of interest, we can always continue to cover this at full ESAC.
Okay.
So that may be an option. So it may be difficult really to establish those other meetings and membership. Maybe we could just essentially what we all do is we'll gather the information that's a backup to the presentation, the memo, and all the schedules. You guys take a look at it, review that, and maybe we can either carve some time as a typical work session, or so that way we can have some dialogue and back and forth in terms of really the study, like, and yeah, I don't know what else to call it, but like a study session and to review that the cost of service in more detail, and then later on just continue to have those until you feel comfortable on understanding it, supportive of it or not. And then really coming up with a recommended rate for the council or not.
Okay.
Okay.
So Brittany, you can help us with finding a day and time with the financial. Just maybe send out a.
Yeah. I'll work with staff, pick a couple dates, and then send it out.
Okay. For finance, that'd be great. All right. Well, thanks. So I think we can move on. I think you're not doing a director's report, Carlos, are you?
I had over 20 items. No. I'm good. No, thank you. No. There's no report. I just wanted to cover, just reemphasize kind of where we're at in the next plan. So no, there's no additional report.
Okay. I figured you were reported out. Okay. All right. So let's move on to item five for the financial monthly report. And that's Chris. Right?
Hi, everyone. Yes.
And Chris, I made you a co-host.
Oh, I'm honored. Thank you. So my name is Chris Gallagher. I am a business services employee. I've been in public administration for about 7 years now. I've been with the city of Tucson for just a short 7 or 8 months. But most of my experience is at the state of Colorado, where I recently relocated from. I'll go ahead and share my screen here.
Thanks for the introduction.
Yeah, thanks.
Of course. Good to meet all of you. Can you see that okay?
Yes. Everybody okay with that?
All righty. So the first thing I'm showing here is the fund activity showing the... I wanted to show this one first, the revenues and expenses through 9/30. So I'll go through the revenues first. They're looking pretty good so far. Have 31.7% of total revenues as a percentage of the FY26 budget. So outpacing 25% of the way through the year and a little bit beyond that in terms of the revenue collection. In most of the subcategories, you're outpacing 31.7% for charges for services. Investment earnings, that's at 21%. Miscellaneous, that's at 65%. I may look into that a little bit more. It seems a little bit high. See if there's anything driving that. And then for the expenditures, we're also in good shape here, I believe, being like about 19% of actuals as opposed to the FY26 budget year to date. So yeah, we have 14.1 million in expenses with the $73.6 million budget. So I'd say overall in good shape, revenues outpacing and expenses coming in lighter so far this year.
Okay.
Any questions on that so far?
There are a lot of vacancies. Is that what's keeping the salaries down?
I'd have to check on that. Carlos, do you have any insight on if you have many vacancies within the department currently?
Yes, let me just get the numbers. So we got about 50 positions open. So we're roughly around 243 positions. So we're staff around 193, 195 right now. So yeah, that's a key factor of that. Most of those positions, I would say around 20, those are related to solid waste equipment operators and there's another like 7 to 9 environmental service workers. So those are really frontline personnel that is making up the vast majority of those vacancies.
Okay. So hopefully that will get filled in, and then we'll get a little closer between revenues and expenses.
Yes. Yes, we recently went through a recruitment. We had actually more candidates than positions. So it's a good thing. So we're hoping to, we're in the process of extending offers as we speak. And so hopefully we'll be in a position to begin to onboard those individuals within the next 2 to 3 weeks, a month, month and a half. So hopefully sooner rather than later.
Great. Good. Thank you.
Okay, so any other questions for this, for the revenues? Okay. Chris, do you want to move on to?
Yes, certainly. I can go through the expense detail now.
Expenditures.
Within the Environmental Services Fund.
Hold my pen, please.
Like most categories of spending are beneath that 25%. It's like administration is at 18%. Customer support and billing is right around 25%. The only category that is over 25% would be Los Reales Engineering and Operations, which is sitting at 33% currently. Overall, in the fund, we are at 19% consumption of budget at this point, September 30th through the year. We don't appear to have any activity on the grant side at the moment. And as far as graffiti abatement goes, that is sitting a little bit light at 12.5% consumption through the year.
What? Why is Tucson Clean and Beautiful 7? Is that a typo? Seems weird number.
I agree. I looked at that. And that's what the data was telling me. So I can drill down a little bit more into it, but I spot checked it and it passed the sniff test at first glance, but I'll do another check on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just when you're dealing in with thousands, to have it in a less than 10 seems really bizarre. And the plastic waste diversion and reuse, is that the orange bag or is that going to Bifusion, or what is that?
Yes. Based on Carlos's reaction, I think so.
So that's the amount that we have allocated for the processing. So it's not intended really to go to Bifusion, payments to Bifusion. Mm-hmm. It's really intended to pay Friedman for the processing and bailing of the material and transportation cost as well.
Okay. So nothing, they haven't billed us is what the number tells us.
That's correct. And it takes a little bit of time really to get those invoices processed. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, we just got a note earlier this week that there's a lot of invoices that are outstanding that we need to pay them. So So next month it would reflect those expenditures that have been accumulated for a while.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Yes, thank you all. I hope you have a great evening.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now that we're numbered out, let's move on to Trevor's summary of our waste diversion collections and education meeting.
Okay,
So last week, Pat gave us an update via Deputy Director's report on Project 4900. The city of Tucson has about 4900 employees. And over the last several years, they've been having some wage compression issues. And so the city has decided to do really an all-employee resume upgrade, getting everyone's updated resumes into the system to assess skills and education, to start to reevaluate everyone's pay. HR will then make recommendations for next year's budget, and there's no guarantee that that will happen, but at least we're getting some eyes on it and what the potential budget implications could be for not just environmental services, but the entire city. We got, and the other thing he was updating us on was the cost of service update, which we just got. Landfill and compliance wise, Bifusion construction is still humming along. We got to see a few photos last week. A lot of the walls are up, just need some windows and a roof, and then the inside gets to go next. On the status, we're still expecting to see things complete next year. And that was kind of it on Bifusion, green waste diversion. We started diverting some of our own green waste at the beginning of last year. The food waste program is also diverting a lot more, and using, we're seeing a lot more use of the finished product. We are now diverting about 40% of the green waste that's coming through the gates, which is up from 10% last year. So there's a lot more going towards the compost facility, which is really great. And then on collections, we got quite a few updates. Equipment-wise, we're still waiting on 19 side loaders. A lot of those will hopefully be coming in by the end of the year or through early 2026. We're still also waiting on a number of front loaders and roll-offs, and the electric truck is still not operational. When it came to recruitments, we had two events last month to work on getting folks into open roles. On environmental workers, we had 35 total applications. Of those 35, we had 11 that were moved into interviews, and about 10 that interviewed. And they were working on sending offers to several to see how that would be accepted. On solid waste operators, we had 75 applications, and are working on moving 27 of those applicants forward, with 25 of them scheduling interviews. And there we have about 20 open positions. So hopefully we can get all of those filled if we're lucky. And then on bulk and, sorry, brush and bulky. Lots of success with going out to neighborhood association meetings to communicate the move of brush and bulky being in the curb or in the alley or out to the curb. There does seem to be less illegal dumping in those two areas where we're doing the on-demand program, which is great. We went through the MRF report. Lots of changes in the amount of revenues we were getting back from recyclables, largely because paper was down significantly, and plastics, especially the plastics going up to Las Vegas, continue to be quite volatile. So lots of ups and downs from month to month. And then finally, on public outreach, they are working on putting together schedules and calendars for next year. They're also going to do things a little bit differently this year. So when the brush and bulky notification goes out in November, that will include the hazardous household waste schedule as well as the collections and recycling calendar, largely because when those get put in bills, people like me don't open their bills and don't see those notifications. So I personally appreciate that update. Again, neighborhood association meetings going well. Christina mentioned that they went to 20 in the last month. So quite a few, a lot of after hours work as well. And then the master recycling program concluded last week. There were 15 graduates and they completed the day with a food cycle at home program training. And a good chunk of those folks are going on the landfill tour on the 16th. We then have the zero waste collection event coming up in November. And then we also have Trunk or Treat on the 15th and Boo Bash coming up as well. And that's it.
Trunk or Treat's actually tomorrow.
Oh, my bad. It's on the 10th.
No worries. It's at Quincy Douglas Community Center.
When was Boo Bash, Brittany?
Boo Bash is actually next Saturday on the 18th at Lincoln Park.
And that was it.
Thank you. I'm thinking I need to take my granddaughter to one of these.
I was to suggest next week because tomorrow there's chance of rain.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Hopefully, huh?
Well, not for me, who's going to be in a parking lot.
That's true. Oh, jeez.
With an umbrella.
An umbrella.
Yes, I'm bringing the canopy just in case.
Good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for Trevor, or should we go ahead and move on to item 7 for future agenda items? And we already have the landfill gas collection system update coming up. Anything else you guys would like to add to this? Probably we need to just keep going over the numbers.
Yeah, I do have I know there was a request last meeting regarding equipment, so that will be on either waste diversion. So just.
Okay. And then you sent us all the pictures of the trucks and stuff, so that's nice to have that all together. And then we're going to get the PowerPoint from today.
Yes, I will send out the PowerPoint.
And then I'll send you, Brittany, the memo with all the schedules to refer back and forth between the presentation and the memo. All that stuff should jive with each other.
Okay.
That'd be great. Okay. We got item 8, called audience. Nobody's here. And we can get out of here a little early and adjourn at 5:04. Thank you.
Thank you. You guys take care.
Thank you.
Everyone. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
You have to have a glass of wine after.
Indeed.
Night.
Good night. Thank you. Bye.